This morning, we are going to be in Acts chapter 16, so if you want to turn there. Ah, got you, didn't I? No, we're going to use that, but this is where we're going to be. Enthroned in His praise, Psalm 22:3. Basically, the psalmist is talking here. It's a messianic psalm. Talks a lot about the Messiah coming, but there's a passage in verse 3, and I'm going to read it to you real quick. It says, "But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." You've heard people say often, I'm sure, that God inhabits the praises of His people. That's what we're talking about this morning. We come here and we sing songs. We come here and we lift up our hearts before God. We can do all of that without praising Him. The Bible says in Psalm 150, verse 6, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise." Luke 19, 41, Jesus says that if these keep silent, even the rocks will cry out. Heard a passage one time or a sermon, it was entitled, "Ain't no rock taking my job." It was a great message along with the title, but that's the understanding. I talked to someone this morning as they were coming in, and he generally asked me, "You got a good sermon for us today?" And my response is generally something like, "Well, I know it was preached at me all week long, and so I'm just going to share it with you." And this one is it doesn't miss that same thing. All week long, whether it was that roller coaster of life that we're going through, this passage is like, don't preach it if you're not going to live it. And if I was going to tell you that I'd done 100%, I'd be lying to you. But God is working on me, because I think we miss out so much because we don't praise God. I know He wasn't praying to us, but Salvador's prayer this morning is right on with what God's dealing with me this week about. He is so far above anything that we could ever even imagine in our minds. And we go through our day and we pray for our food and we do things, and I don't want it to seem like I'm browbeating us. And I say us because I'm as guilty as anybody here. But it's one of those things that I think if we're not living up to where God wants us to be, then somebody needs to tell us. All week, I've been dealing with this, and so I want to share it with you this morning. Because not only does God inhabit the praises of His people, He's enthroned in our praises to Him. It's something that has to be... We have a great praise and worship team up here. We are so blessed with the way they prepare and the way things are set up and their hearts before God. If you knew, not a one of them has been trained. They're all self-taught. They all are just giving their hearts to God. And we have a great praise group, a praise team that leads us in beautiful music every Sunday morning. But that's not going to get you to praise. That's not going to get you to worship. Because my personal belief is those two things are personal. Now, I can come and I can sing in corporate worship, and I can be involved in a corporate group that is praising God. But if I want to praise God, if you want to praise God, it has to be done on an individual basis, just between you and Him. Because it's a personal relationship that praise is funneled out of to Him. We're going to look at this passage. I think I last preached on it back in May of 21, but nothing like this is what I didn't even see this back then. Maybe I was dumber back then. Maybe God just opened my eyes for this. I don't know. But I want to read this passage. I'm going to start in verse 22 and read just a little bit. It says, "Then the multitude rose up together against them, And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet into the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light. He ran in and fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, move in this place. Lord, forgive us where we fall short. Draw us to where you want us to be. God, may it be real today. So real that we're uncomfortable. Because, Lord, if I'm comfortable, then something's wrong. So, Lord, I pray you would change that. In your name I pray. Amen. Paul and Silas, very popular passage of when they're in prison and they're singing at midnight and the earthquake comes. We all know that passage. But what had taken place right before that, we read that they were beaten with rods. Now, when I was growing up, there was a belt a few times. Grandma had a switch. There were things, but never a rod. That just seems like that would be torture. But it was what they did. And they could give up to 39 lashes legally. And it says they had laid many stripes on them. They had come to a point where they had beaten them all because they preached Jesus. So they take them and they throw them in the inner prison. And it's midnight. And it's dark. And they're surrounded by other prisoners. I'm sure the stripes that were on their backs, maybe their legs, maybe their head, I don't know, but I'm sure they probably didn't feel very good. And these men do something. They stop and they're singing praises and hymns to God. Now, I've read the rest of chapter 16. I know what happens. These men did not know what was going to happen. They had no, probably, inclination that God was going to cause an earthquake and the doors were going to fly open and the chains were going to fall off and the jailer was going to take them home and feed them. That was probably the farthest thought from their mind. Because it says when they came at midnight, it says they were singing praises and hymns to God. I was sitting here this morning, and I don't know who right behind me there. I'm sure it was probably Ken, but somebody was sounding angelic back there. Ken took credit for that. Stacy's not here, so we're good. But we're not singing to other people. We're not praising so that other people will see us. You know, sometimes in the past, and I'll be honest with you, when I raise my hand, at times I think, you know, is that going to make somebody new to this church feel uncomfortable? But I've got over that. Because I don't care what you think. How many times you heard that from the pulpit? Because I'm not praising to you. I'm not lifting my hands so that you will think I'm holy, because I'm not. I am a sinner saved by grace. And I know that. And the one that saved me is the one I'm raising my hands to. And the one I'm praising. These men did something when it was difficult. Think about this for just a moment. They're praising God in the difficult situations. Stop and think as I get into this. I want to ask you a question. I thought about actually having people raise their hands, but we're not going to do that. How long has it been since you heard somebody praise God outside of this building? Now, I'm sure some of you say, yeah, we were at Bible study, or we were at FCA, or we were at prayer group. And you say, yeah, but on a daily basis, if I was to say, has anybody in here heard somebody throughout the day praise God at least one time every day of the week? You know, I bet we'd probably have less than four people raise their hands. Because we don't praise God unless we come in here, because it says on my bulletin, this is praise and worship time. Turn it on. And that's what we do. When it's message time, we turn off that praise and worship, and we turn off that hearing aid too. Don't laugh. You know it's true, some of you. You've seen it. I've seen it. But we think that because it's labeled praise, this is the time to praise Him. That verse that I read says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now, we know there are a lot of people out there that have breath that are never going to praise the Lord. They have no intention of ever bowing before Jesus, but it's going to come one day. One day they will. But it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And if you want to enter into His gates, you do it with thanksgiving, and enter into His courts with praise. We enter into His church to praise. I come in here every week. I go down to my desk and I study. I'll come up here and I'll walk around, maybe sit at the piano and pray. But that doesn't mean I was praising God. We should be praising God every single day. Because if you think for just a moment that you don't have something to praise about, then you're missing the boat. They were in the worst situations. They are in the inner parts of the prison. They are locked up, and they're down there with other people. Think about this. They're in the worst place that they could be. The location didn't matter to them. Going through the week, does the location you're in, maybe it's a job, maybe it's at school, maybe it's at the coffee shop, wherever it is, does the location hinder your praise? Well, we don't want to be honest there, do we? Because we know what we'd have to say. It's easy for me to come in here and for me to stand here when everybody's behind me and I close my eyes so I can't see the people in front of me, and I praise God because I know you're all here to hear about God too, and so I figure you're probably not going to judge me too much. But when it comes time for me to be at the grocery store and I realize and the thought comes through my mind about the fact that Jesus Christ died for me and He died for that person, and if I don't stop and praise Him, or at least go along and praise Him, because what are the people in line behind me going to think? If we let the location affect our praise, then the location is more powerful than your relationship to God. And we all do it. Well, you know, I can't do it at school. I'm a teacher. I'm a coach. Whatever. Yes, you can. Because you don't have to do it out loud. You can do it anytime. But it's because what has to happen is we have to praise and worship. Praise is that thanksgiving of what God has done. And worship is that surrendering of our heart to Him. That's what He wants. And you can do that anywhere. You don't have to do it verbally. Yes, He wants us to. But you can always do it with the heart. They didn't let their location stop them. And then stop and think again. Not only are they in the innermost parts of this dark prison, they're surrounded, it says, and the other prisoners were listening. Now, this is probably my thought, that at some point you've had in your mind that here are Paul and Silas chained up in this room in the inner part of the prison, and you've had in your mind at some point that here sets all these other guys sitting around listening to them. Oh, man, Paul and Silas are pretty good. Man, they've got good harmony. Maybe you haven't went that far, but you've thought about the fact that those people are just sitting around listening to them. Does it say that these prisoners were enjoying it? They put Paul and Silas in the inner part of the prison, which is where the worst prisoners were kept. These were not just other people that were maybe with Paul and Silas. They were other prisoners there, and they were bad people. They had done bad things. They were kept in the inner part of the prison for a reason. But Paul and Silas, in the midst of those people that probably did not want to hear anything about God, sat there and praised God anyway. Because they were not singing praises to the prisoners. We're not trying to impress you with our beautiful voices. They're singing praises to God. And they did not let the people around them affect their praise. Do we? Do we allow people around us? I know it's hard for high schoolers, and we are blessed with some of the best high school students, junior high students, and younger students that I think the world has. And I'm being honest with you. Because I think I see them stand up for Jesus Christ in the midst of other teenagers that don't love Jesus, that don't want to hear about Jesus. And that's not easy to do. And because of that, we could learn a lot as adults from our youth group. Because they're going to stand and they're going to worship God and they're going to praise God and they're going to have their prayer groups and their FCA groups and the things that they do to worship God and to serve God and to share God with other people. And they don't care who's around them. But once we got a little older, it began to bother us, I guess, for some reason. And we have a tendency to think, well, you know, I've got to work with this person, and if I start talking about God today, then they're going to dodge me every time I see them at work from now on. We allow people around us to keep us from praising God. People that don't want to know Jesus, you know what? They need Jesus just as bad. They just don't know it yet. They didn't let the location stop them. They didn't let the people stop them. And they're there in the inner part of this probably stinky, smelly prison. It's not the jailhouse that's cleaned out every now and then. It's the dungeon of this prison. And they're in chains. Now, I've never wore chains. I've put on handcuffs a time or two back when I worked with the DARE program just to show a point. But I've never had chains or shackles put on my legs. But my ankles, there's no fat around my ankles. I'm just going to be honest with you. And if there was a metal shackle there, every time I moved, it would literally cause me to scream. That's where they were. Not only that, but they're beaten. It says that the jailer takes them home and cleans them up. So obviously their wounds had not been cleaned up. So here you go sit in that slimy, stinky dungeon with open wounds on your back. And that's some difficulties in life right there. The location was bad enough. The people were bad enough. But now you add the difficulties of pain and strife. And this is the hard one. That you praise God in the middle of that? There's no comfortable pew. There's no fan blowing on them so they don't get hot. They're in the midst of some of the most uncomfortable times of their life. And they said, well, let's praise God. And they weren't praising God so that He would come and let them out. They were praising God for who He is. Because who He is enough. Think about this for just a moment. So many times people want to praise God or attach their name to God when they want something. We pray and we call out on Him because we have pains. And we're supposed to. He tells us we're supposed to. Anytime Peter says to cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. So when we have any kind of need, we're supposed to bring it before Him. We're supposed to lay it at His feet. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens and lift each other up in prayer. We're supposed to do that. We come closer to doing that correctly than the praising and the thanksgiving. Because that's where we're supposed to be. Because that shows my relationship. The character in my life is developed by how much time I spend with God. And the time I spend with God is not just a time that I read His Word, which that's part of it. And it's not just a time when I pray and cast my cares on Him, but that's part of it. But just stopping and thinking about what He has done when He died on that cross, surrendered His life so that you would not have to pay for your sins. The Son of God did that for us. We need to remember that and praise Him for that. And then every breath that you and I take, and I'm sure your life isn't perfect, my life isn't perfect. We all have things going on in our life that are not the way we thought they should be. But my God is still God, and I will praise Him. Not just with songs, that's one way. But I will bow my heart before Him because He is the sovereign Lord of the universe and He loves even me. What He does for us every single day, we need to praise Him for. Our heart needs to get into an attitude of acknowledgement of the awe of God and understand that we bring that before Him. Anytime He's brought to mind. And you can't drive around of an evening, or if you get up early enough in the morning and that sun rises or that sun is setting or the clouds are billowing, whatever you see, God did that. We need to praise Him, not just because of what He's done, but because of who He is. Now, some people, like I said, might think, well, you know, they were probably praying and calling out for God to open up the prison doors and you know, drop the chains off. Maybe they were. I don't know. But it doesn't say that. It said they were singing praises to God. I sing praises to God, and maybe you do too, thinking that God will come through because He sees me praising Him. He hears me praising Him. And so therefore, He's going to reward me. No, that's not why they did it. They did it because they loved God. That's what we're called to do, is to express our love to God in praise. He inhabits the praises of His people. He's enthroned in the praises of His people. Think about that. They had no idea the earthquake was coming. They had no idea that the chains were going to fall. They had no idea the doors were going to open. They had no ideas that they were going to be taken out and fed. They just knew they needed to praise God. Think about the fact that if you praise God, He has the power to alter nature. Because He inhabits your praise. He has the power to change what people are planning. They were planning on keeping them in jail. And God comes down and inhabits the praise. And then what He does from that point on is up to Him. It's not, God, I want you to come down and open the doors, get off these uncomfortable shackles. It's, God, I'm going to praise you, and if I spend the rest of my life in these shackles, that's okay. Because I want you to know I love you. And I'll love you no matter what the location is. I will love you no matter who's around. And I will love you no matter how difficult it gets. Whether you do anything else for me or not, God, I will love you. That's the attitude of praise. That's what He calls us to do. If we want to enter His courts, we do it with the praise that comes from love. Everything that has breath should be doing that. Now, I know there are some of us that that's the farthest thing from our mind in the middle of the week. Life is hitting us. We're not in a convenient place, whatever, location, people, difficulties, that's what keeps us from praising Him. The jailer was asleep. I'm going to close with this. Think about that. The jailer didn't hear the singing. The jailer didn't hear the praising God. You know, if they're, whatever they're singing, whatever hymns they're singing, whatever praise that's coming out of their mouth, the jailer, it says, after the earthquake, says he awakens from sleep. He was not even awake through the whole process. But because God inhabited the praises of Paul and Silas, the outreaching effect of God's presence changed that man's life forever and his family's. So if God inhabits your praise, what's the possibility that His presence is going to affect those people around you? Maybe even the people that are asleep. God wants to inhabit the praises of His people. He promises to inhabit the praises of His people. But not just inhabit, He's enthroned. He is in charge. He is set up as King and Lord in our praises. But in reading that verse, there's something in there we can't miss. He inhabits, He's enthroned in the praises of His people. There are a lot of people that want to go out there and sing, shout, raise their hands, do whatever, and sing songs to God. But they're not His people. They have never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They have never became a child of God. Man, I want to do all those things you're talking about. I want to start having... And it doesn't mean you're going to have an attitude and everything's going to be great. They're in prison. But what it's saying is that my heart will be right with God. And that's what I want. And so if you're sitting here and you think, that's what I want, that's what I want. It starts when you become His. And then He inhabits the praises of His people, His children, those that have surrendered to Him and those that have loved Him. Now, maybe that's the farthest thing from your mind today. Maybe you don't want to do that. It's great that God inhabits the praises of His people. I don't need it. Yes, you do. I don't know of any other way to say it but that. Because everything that has breath should praise the Lord. Because one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You either do it in this life or you do it at the great throne judgment. But you're going to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so when we live this life here, you have an opportunity to have the Savior of the world, the Son of God, the God of all creation, inhabit the praises that you give back to Him. But you got to start by surrendering your life. Then you surrender the praises. If you've never done that, I ask that you don't leave today. I pray that you don't leave today. If you don't know Jesus Christ, that today would be the day that you surrender to Him. Because He died on that cross for your sins. Somebody was going to pay for Him, but He did it for you. Christian, don't let anything stop you from praising God. Because the world loves it. Satan loves it if he can stop us from praising God. Well, I'll just throw some difficulties. I'll just put some people around. I'll just put them in a bad spot. And unfortunately, it works. May we go out with a heart praising God today and every day. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You and we thank You for all that You do. God, we want to learn to praise You more. We want to love You and we want to honor You. We want to worship You. God, we can't do it without You. Draw us into Your presence. Lord, if there be one lost here today, I pray that they would come to know You. Lord, that they would surrender and receive Your love. Lord, may we honor You. May we worship You. And may we praise You more. In Your name I pray. Amen.